The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and will not grow weary. They will walk and will not be faint. Let us pray before Alec gives us the message. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and for the truth that it brings us, that we can rely on it, and it's amazing, Lord. Do pray for Alec this evening, that you speak through him, Lord, that we don't hear and say his words, but hear you. And Lord, open our hearts so that we can understand what is being said, Lord, that we grow as Christians this evening. Do pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Fantastic. Good job. Thank you. So just to give you a little bit of background, in case you're not familiar with this particular passage. So Isaiah 40 onwards is talking about, Israel's release from Babylon. So King Hezekiah, who was on the whole a faithful king, but his people were captured by Babylon. And Isaiah is then, from this point onwards, he's talking about Israel's release from captivity, which is quite key for the message this morning, so bear that in mind. But if we just backtrack a little bit to, if we look at chapter 39, verses 4 to 7, so the prophet asks, what did you see in your palace? So he's talking to Hezekiah. Or what did they see in your palace? They saw everything in my palace, Hezekiah said. There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. And then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they'll become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And Hezekiah then goes on to say, the word of the Lord that you've spoken, that's actually quite good, Hezekiah says, for he thought there'll be peace and security in my lifetime. So Hezekiah knows at this point, he hasn't been particularly humble. He's shown off about his great treasures that he's got and his lovely palace, and he's realised that actually judgment is coming, and he says, well, at least I've got off quite lightly here, because my descendants are going to be paying the price. And in fact, Hezekiah's son then goes on to build places of idol worship, and they completely turn their back on God all over again. And their trust on God is completely diminished. And there's just a sense of pride. I spoke this morning about being humble and about humility, and Hezekiah's son does the opposite. And indeed, Hezekiah himself, when he was showing off his palace, perhaps allowing a little bit of pride to creep in. So this morning, I want to hopefully expand a little bit about who we are, and then who God is in comparison, and then what do we do about that? What do we do about the fact that God is perfect, and that he's always strong and steadfast, and we're not? What do we do about that? Now, there's a lot to be said about doing things on your own strength, and having strength of mind and strength of character, and people talk these days about having an inner strength and so on. And I mentioned earlier on about I was quite into my cricket, and if we look at, say, one of my... Is he a hero? Perhaps a bit before my time. Geoffrey Boycott. People would say about Geoffrey Boycott, the Yorkshire and England batsman, had quite a strong character, a large strength of character. So he could bat all day. He would tell you, he would say to you, he hasn't got the best cricket technique, but he could just bat all day because he had that strength of mind. And he would go home, and in his spare time, he would work on his technique, and work on ways that he could combat the bowling. And his mental capacity was phenomenal, but it was finite. It wasn't infallible. He would eventually get out. So he could play a really long innings, but eventually he would still get out. And even that strength of mind that he did have, it only applied to that area of his life. Eventually our own strength fails, and our own strength fades. But what does it say here? That God's strength renews us. I know I could do with being renewed. It's been quite a long journey down here yesterday. Probably, what was it, 7 or 8 hours in the car? It's been a nice day today, but it's been a long day. Sometimes I feel, oh God, just renew me. I need more strength. Our human frailty, our human nature is that physically our bodies will get tired throughout the day. Our physical strength diminishes. It's a physical certainty. There are things we can do to enhance that. We can have different diets. We can exercise. I dare say there's even some drugs you can use to give yourself some endurance. But again, it's not eternal. Eventually, it fades. It's part of our human condition. But yet the promise here from God is that we can tap into something as Christians that is, we can tap into a heavenly strength. We can tap into something that's eternal and something that's durable. Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He will not grow tired or weary. We do, but he doesn't. No one can fathom that. His understanding, no one can fathom. And yet he gives strength to the weary. So if you're feeling weary, there are things you can do. There are diet programs you can go on. There's exercise you can take. And as I say, there's probably drugs you can take. But God, who is infinite in his strength and in his steadfastness, gives us that strength that he has. He increases the power of the weak. So this doesn't mean that we're not going to fade. It doesn't mean we're not going to be weak. In fact, it's pointing out that we are weak. And it's in our weakness that we turn to God. It's in our weakness and in our, as I say, our human frailty, that we come to God for salvation. It's in our weakness that we... That's how we demonstrate humility. By admitting that we are weak, which is that's not a very common or very popular 21st century phrase, to admit that you're weak or to admit that you got something wrong or to admit that you need to depend on something or someone else. So we want to get to a place this evening, folks, where we recognise that we do depend on the one who gives us that strength. We depend on the eternal God. We depend on the one who doesn't grow weary. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. If your hope is in the Lord, he will renew your strength. And we will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. How can it be that young men stumble and fall? How can it be that youths grow tired and weary? Surely they're full of energy. How can youths stumble? How can they fall? Youths have got, I know my kids, she's probably asleep now, isn't she, now? I'm saying, yeah. They've got abundance of energy. Why is it saying here that they stumble and fall? Why do they grow weary? Young people, youthful people, can be susceptible to, I guess, mental weakness. They don't have necessarily the spiritual maturity to overcome temptations. And there are things that, even though they may be physically stronger or more durable than we are, the enemy can attack with temptations and things that can cause even young men, even youth, to stumble and fall. He would tell you, you don't need to seek God for strength. You don't need to seek your strength from anywhere else, because you can do it. You don't need to find your pleasure and your delight anywhere else. Whereas in Psalm 37, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. But the enemy will tell us the opposite. He will tell us, if you want strength, if you want to improve your life, go and find someone to sleep around with. Go and build up some earthly possessions. Use some language that perhaps isn't particularly savoury but might get people to laugh. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time looking to God for strength. Just chill out in the evening. Watch TV all night. Those are sort of subtle temptations that the enemy can throw our way. that we don't need God, that we don't need strengthening from anyone else. So how does God empower us? How does he give us that strength? I wasn't going to share this tonight, but I think I will. I mentioned it earlier on to Pete when we were talking, purely because this will help me to demonstrate what it is that I believe God wants to talk to us this morning. So the 1924 Paris Olympics, Eric Liddell is due to run the 100 metres. He's the quickest guy on the planet, over 100 metres. Not even disputed. But the 100 metre heats falls on a Sunday, and he refuses to run on a Sunday. That's Sabbath. He refuses to run on the Sabbath, which is just his personal conviction. I'm not going to waste my time up here saying whether we should or shouldn't do things on a Sunday. That was his personal conviction. So the Great British team decided that he could probably run in the 400 metres because it was on a weekday or a Saturday. So he'd never trained for the 400 metres. He was quick, over 100 metres. This is four times as long. So he said, OK, I'll go in for the 400 metres. And he ran the 400 metres and he won gold. He broke the world record. And that's the first time he'd ever run that race. And then when somebody asked him, "But how did you do that?" And he said, "Well, the first 200 metres, I was OK." He'd run 100 metres before. In fact, he'd probably run 200 metres before as well, because that's a sprint, isn't it? And he said, "After that, I just relied on God, and God took me over the finish line." So what is it about us using our own strength and skills and abilities, and then God coming in, his Holy Spirit filling us? What is it about that partnership between us trying and using our skills and gifts to the best of our ability, but God then taking over and taking us to places that we couldn't have gone? And to Eric Liddell winning a race that he had no right to win and that he wouldn't have won by his own admission without God. I'm just going to turn actually to Ephesians 3 verse 20. You turn with me if you want to, or it probably appears up there, does it? Ephesians 3 verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." It's God's power at work with us. So when people talk about the Holy Spirit, maybe there's some people who feel spooked out by that. In fact, in the old, it's sometimes referred to as Holy Ghost, isn't it? Which makes it sound even more spooky, and maybe that's a bit, I'm not sure about that. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in us. It's God's strength in us. It's God's strength in our hearts. God's power in us to help us to do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. I don't know how many of us this morning would love to be able to achieve more things than we could ever imagine. And I wonder what sort of things maybe prevent us from doing that. I wonder what makes us weary. Maybe we're just battle weary. Maybe it's been a hard life or a tough season, tough period in our lives, and we feel a bit beaten in. Maybe we're weighed down with guilt. I talked about that a little bit this morning, weighed down with guilt or shame. Or it could just be circumstances, I don't know. Maybe your circumstances you're in, perhaps they're weighing you down. And you're thinking, well, how can I fix this problem? I tapped into that a little bit this morning about trying to fix the problem ourselves. And although I might be able to give you some practical advice, I can't help you with those problems, but I do know who you can go to for strength. I do know who you can go to for sustenance. I know who you can go to who is always faithful. Someone you can rely on, someone you can depend on, someone who strengthens the weary. So I wonder if we can ask ourselves this morning what we're burdened by. Is there something that burdens us? Are we carrying a burden? I mentioned again this morning about maybe carrying unforgiveness. That can be a burden. There are things that can weigh us down, stuff we need to give to God, because he will take the burden. Jesus took our shame and sin and burdens. He took them on the cross, so we don't need to carry them. But then we still need to rely on God for our ongoing strengthening, to fulfill the things that he would have for us. Things that he would have for us to do. Before he even created the world, he had a plan for you and for me. But he also knew that we are in a bodies that don't last forever, and they get tired and weary. But at the same time, he also knew that he was going to be the one that would strengthen us. He's the one we go to. He's the living water that never runs out, that you can always go to. God wants to release people. The way that the Israelites from chapter 14 were released from Babylon, God wants to release us from things that are weighing us down, things that are stumbling blocks, things that are preventing us from walking closely with him. You know what God seeks more than anything is relationship with us. And it breaks his heart when we decide not to go to him because we feel like we're not worthy, or because we're carrying burdens or carrying shame or guilt or unforgiveness. He longs to be with his people. In fact, the Great Commission in Matthew 28 is about, he wants to send us out to make disciples of all nations, sends us to the end of the earth. And after that, he says, obviously, I know that's a tall order, but don't worry, I will be with you always. I will be with you to the end of time. That's always his plan. He will be with us. He longs to be with his people. So let's be a people that seek him and want to approach him and know that we're able to approach him. God is the source of our strength, and his strength is everlasting, and his strength is eternal, and his strength is pure, and his strength is true and dependable. And do you know why that is? Because God is everlasting, and God is eternal, and God is pure and true and dependable. His strength is characteristic of himself. So if you were hoping that I'd be standing here this morning giving you my top tips on how to avoid an unhindered life, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed, because your life's not going to be unhindered. This passage is not about God providing an unhindered pathway to eternity. But God gives us an inner strength to endure the journey that we're on. And it's his Holy Spirit in us that empowers us and that enables us and does immeasurably more than we can imagine. And he says, come to me, all who are weary. It's an open invitation. He doesn't say, come to me, all who are weary, except Joe Bloggs. Or come to me, all who are weary, unless you've done X, Y, and Z. Come to me, all who are weary. And it's not even just talking about the Jews or Christians. All who are weary, come to God. That's where you'll find your strength. He's the one that sustains you. Because his strength flows down through us. It flows down because he's on the throne. So anytime we seek our strength from somewhere else, it's like we're taking him off the throne. It's like we're replacing him with something else. And then maybe we turn to him as a last resort. I know I've done that. There's been times when I've hit a crisis point and I think, God, I really need you now. Oh, really? I needed him from the start, but I didn't acknowledge it. Or I tried to figure out the problem myself. I think that's the theme. That wasn't my plan to say that, but I think that's the theme running through today, figuring things out ourselves, trying to fix problems without leaning on his strength. But he renews our strength. He makes all things new. And not only that, he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So we want more strength. What do we pray for? Not more strength, more joy. Pray for more joy. I want more joy in the Lord. I think sometimes it's a case that we get busy as well. I think sometimes we want to try and do something to relieve ourselves of burdens, rather than just waiting upon God. I mean, it's good to do things, and it's good to be productive. It's biblical to be productive. It's good to be busy. But sometimes there's a case for just waiting on God. Even if it's just in the silence and everything's frantically going on around you, how am I going to clear these debts? God, how am I going to find work? God, how am I going to forgive my sister or whatever? Trying to frantically fix problems. Sometimes it's just sitting there saying, God, just strengthen me. God, would you equip me for the battles that I'm about to face? not necessarily removing the battles, but equipping me for them. In fact, he says in, again, don't turn to it because I've jumped around a bit tonight. That wasn't my intention. But Ephesians 6 has just come to mind. So Ephesians 6, verse 10, I think. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So we get access to his power. We get access to his strength and his power to equip us against the enemy. It's not saying that we won't be in a battle. It's saying put your armour on. Get prepared. Get ready. I will strengthen you and I'll give you the courage and the confidence to address the issues that are in your life right now. Put on the full armour of God so that you can face evil, so you can face the evil one. Because that's really who our battles are against. That's probably why we're feeling weary sometimes and tired. Because the enemy lies to us. He said, come to me all who are weary. If you're weary, we come to God. God says, I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll lead you by still waters. And the enemy says, no, he doesn't. The enemy says, no, you need to go and recharge your batteries. You need to find something to occupy your time. You need to go and have a go at your sister or your brother or whoever you fell out with. That might make you feel a bit better. So we have to choose who we want to listen to. Whether we want to listen to the father of lies who comes to steal and destroy, or whether we want to come to the one and listen to the one who sustains us and who gives us strength and comfort. I like the song we sung earlier about riding on wings like eagles, and that's from Isaiah 40. They will soar on wings like eagles and will run and not grow weary. I saw an eagle a while ago just riding the currents. He was just so graceful. And he was soaring higher and higher, and he barely flapped his wings. The current just took him up, and he just hopped onto the next current and was just gliding, and he seemed completely peaceful, completely at rest. He was going higher and higher just by finding the current and resting on that. If that was me, I'd be flapping around trying to generate some speed and generate some height. And sometimes we just flap a bit, I think. We flap around trying to get on this current and trying to get higher and higher and trying to fix the problem. And God says, just come to me, all who are weary. Just rest on me, like the eagle. The eagle just finds the next current and just glides on the next one. It's amazing to watch. God wants to refresh us. And he wants to refresh us for a reason. I mean, we do feel better when we're not tired. But he wants to refresh us for mission. I mentioned Matthew 28 earlier, the Great Commission to go out and make disciples of all men. And then we kind of hand on that baton of salvation, if you like. We've been saved and we know what we've been saved from, and we know Christ, and we want to pass that message on to the next person until it reaches the ends of the earth. And he wants to equip us to do that. And he's equipping us to withstand the battles and for endurance, for durability, as we go out into, if we're going to use the same terminology, into the battlefields or out onto the streets of Colchester or Cumbria, winning people for Christ, not in an aggressive way, but people that know we're Christians, they observe and they see what we do, they see how we behave, they see how we act, they see where we get our strength from, they see what we rely on. And God wants to equip us for that. And when we're strengthened, we know that we're able to comfort others. And we're able to share something that we have. You know, as Christians, you have the answer. There's so many people out there with questions and things I don't know about, and you hold the answer. You know what the answer is already, because you know you've come to Christ. You know where you get your strength from. And you can share that comfort with other people. And they say, well, where do you get your strength from? Where do you get your courage from? And you can tell them. But relying on God does mean trusting him. You can't really go into it half-hearted. So I'm going to try and figure this out myself, and then when it gets too bad, then I'll trust on you. I was talking to this evening, Peter was asking what car I've got, and it just triggered my memory. We're talking about the car. It's actually done us quite well the last couple of years, but we've had awful car problems down the years for various reasons, and then the MOT is a lot, and then we had punches and all sorts. But when you get into a car, you expect it to go. So you get into a car, you turn the key, it fires up the engine, and you expect it. You don't even really think about it. You expect it to go. That's what it does. And it's only when it then stops working, that's when you panic. So it's almost like you've got your trust in the car. You expect it to work. The mechanics are fine. I know what that car does. And then when it doesn't work, this is my experience, when it stops working, oh, God, please help me. I'm stuck on the motorway with five kids, puncher, God, help me. It didn't really occur to me before we get into the car to think, God, please make this car, because I expected it to do. That's what it's supposed to do. It's only when things go wrong sometimes that we turn to God and say, God, he might not physically fix the puncher, but you're going to have to give me the strength to get through this, because it's the middle of the night and I've got five kids on the motorway and we're in the middle of nowhere. God, I need your strength. And I talked to her about humility. That requires humility to say, God, I need you. I should have checked the tire pressure before I come out, but I didn't. God help me. So he won't. I can't promise that he'll relieve us of our circumstances, because I don't know. There might be people, I don't know you guys, there might be people who are really ill and thinking, well, I've been waiting for God to heal me and to strengthen me, and he hasn't. When's he going to do that, Alec? And I don't know. He says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, so I know what will happen eventually. I can't say when you'll get healed or whether you get healed. I can't say. But I do know there's a God that gives you hope and strength, and that your incapacitation or your illness is somehow going to be a witness to someone else who can see how much strength you're getting from God. Of how much peace you have in whatever your circumstance is, people will notice that. People will see that. Say, where do you get your strength from? And you can tell them that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You might not use that terminology because people can be freaked out by Christianese language, and I understand that. But between me and you, that's what I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us and equips us, because it's God's presence in us. It's God's strength in us. Because he is strong, we become strong. So yeah, I believe God wants to strengthen us this evening and to call us. He's calling us out to rely on him and to recognize, actually, we probably don't recognize enough how much strength and sustenance we get from him. Even if we remove the fact that we need oxygen and all the rest of it and food to start with in the first place, which he created, even if you take that out of the equation, I believe God wants to bring us back to himself this evening, and for us to form a new dependence on him and a new humility where we say, yeah, God, we need your strength. God, I cannot do this on my own. Would you please strengthen me? God, would you strengthen me? Amen. Can we sing Amazing Grace?